Friday, Mayor Ed Murray announced he's raising the pay of all city employees to $15 an hour. This Wednesday, Murray's Income Inequality Advisory Committee meets for the first time to come up with a proposal by the end of April of how to get a $15 minimum wage for all employees in the city.
Last week, I spoke to the co-chairs of the Income Inequality Committee, Dave Rolfe, president of the Service Employees International Union Local, and Howard Wright, founder and CEO of the Seattle Hospitality Group. Wright is also one of the owners of the Space Needle.
David Rolfe's union represents 40,000 long-term care workers who work in homes, nursing homes, and adult day health services. He says most make between $11 and $15 an hour. So what does David Rolfe think about income inequality?
I think it's the moral issue of our time. And, you know, those of us who are in the middle of our lives and may have been called into leadership, didn't necessarily choose to be born at the moment when the fate of the American dream and the middle class are at their highest level of risk in our country's history. But it will absolutely be our fault if we don't do something about it.
Income Inequality Committee co-chair Howard Wright's Seattle Hospitality Group is a holding company in the tourism and sightseeing sectors. Wright says most of the employees for his companies make $15 an hour. But Wright is also concerned about income inequality.
You know, the greatest thing about this country is a stable middle class. And if we don't continue to invest in a stable middle class, we may end up without a stable middle class. And that frightens me.
Dave Rolfe and Howard Wright are leading a diverse 23-member committee. It includes union leaders, a venture capitalist, the president of Ivor's Restaurant, and nightlife entrepreneur Dave Meinert. Union leader Dave Rolfe says that the Income Inequality Advisory Committee should come out with a proposal to lessen inequality by imposing a $15 an hour minimum wage here in Seattle.
There are about 120 municipalities in the country, cities and counties for the most part, in some cases airport districts, that have legislated some higher level of wages and benefits than their state minimums or than the federal minimum. We think $15 is a reasonably modest place to start in Seattle. I think 15 is probably too low when you look at the data on what it takes to, for example, afford a studio apartment, an Orca pass, groceries, and the basic needs to live in a city like Seattle.
I asked co-chair Howard Wright whether he wants the committee at the end of April to ask for a $15 an hour minimum wage.
I want Seattle's commission to come out with a very strong recommendation that is acceptable to most of the people that it will affect, and that includes employers and wage earners.
You didn't attach $15 an hour to that.
That's right, because you know what? It could be more. It could be fewer dollars. It could be more dollars. I don't know what exactly it's going to come out to be.
Now, a $15 an hour minimum wage sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? But wages are not the only way that a company compensates its employees.
One of the 100 best companies to work for in the country is headquartered here in Seattle. And they pay, obviously, a starting wage, plus profit sharing, plus bonuses, plus education reimbursement, plus transportation, plus publicly traded stock. And so if they were to be a cynical employer, they could wipe out all of that and go straight to $15, which I don't think there are thousands and thousands of wage-earning employees would probably want that to happen.
Does their name rhyme with some bucks?
I'll let you determine that.
Howard Wright, co-chair of the Mayor's Income Inequality Advisory Committee that begins work this week to consider boosting Seattle's minimum wage to $15 an hour. I asked co-chair Dave Rolfe of the Service Employees International Union the same question. Some businesses don't pay $15 an hour, but they offer full health. They offer educational benefits. Sometimes they even offer profit sharing. Should that be part of the formula, the total compensation package, rather than just the hourly wage?
Some of the cities around the country that have living wage laws do acknowledge the cost of often health benefits. So, for example, at Los Angeles International Airport, which is run by the City of Los Angeles, the benefited minimum wage is lower than the unbenefited minimum wage. So I think it's inevitable that those proposals are going to get made and they're going to come up. So I think we have to walk a line between acknowledging the total labor costs to a business and understanding that the goal here is for people to make a living wage. The goal is for people who go to work full-time for a living to be able to support themselves without relying on public assistance. You get too much below $15, and that's just not possible in a city with costs of living like Seattle.
Despite the challenges, Dave Rolfe and Howard Wright are confident they're going to find a way to get most of the 23 members of their Income Inequality Committee to agree. One member they'll particularly want on board is Seattle City Council member Shama Sawant. The centerpiece of her campaign was a $15 an hour minimum wage. And Sawant has made it clear that if the mayor and city council can't do it, she'll take it to the voters in the form of a ballot measure. The prospect of a ballot measure concerns Income Equality Advisory Committee co-chair Howard Wright.
Well, my fears are that this goes to the ballot in November, because I don't think that most of the time, I don't think that law by initiative is the best law that you can get. There could also be competing initiatives on the very same subject. I don't want to see the brain damage nor the dollar damage spent on that.
Union leader Dave Rolfe is also concerned about the $15 an hour minimum wage measure going to voters.
You know, we are in this city called Seattle that tends to love process. And in this case, the likelihood of one or more citizen ballot initiatives being filed, I think, doesn't give us years to make a decision, because thoughtful, nuanced policy isn't always best accomplished through the ballot. It can be, but if there's a way of reaching a negotiated outcome that the majority of the committee members and the majority of council would support, I think that's the best option.
So, Marcy, the clock is ticking. Dave Rolfe and Howard Wright have until the end of April to lead this Income Inequality Advisory Committee to a proposal for an increased minimum wage. They have to get Mayor Murray to accept it, and then they have to get the city council to pass it.
So what are the other big issues that they're going to have to contend with as a committee?
Well, one of the things is, should companies with just a few employees perhaps be exempt from the $15 an hour minimum wage? And Dave Rolfe, the labor leader, says he wants to discuss it, but he's concerned that larger companies will subcontract the work to tinier companies to avoid paying that $15 an hour. A second issue is that, how about companies that have union agreements with workers that both sides are happy about, even if they don't include a $15 an hour minimum wage? Should a city mandate trump that labor agreement that's already there? And thirdly, this is a big committee.
Right.
You and I have sat in on meetings before, Marcy. These are 23 people. They're coming from very different perspectives, from labor and business perspectives. It's going to be like herding cats to get them all together.
Yeah, interesting. The Seattle process on steroids, perhaps.
Absolutely. This is The Record on KUOW with Marcy Silman. I'm Ross Reynolds.